The time is 9:35, and it is April the 17th. We do have a quorum to conduct business consisting of Senators Stevens, Green, and myself, McGuire. And we have, as our first item on the agenda today, we're going to bump it up to the top of the calendar, HJR 11. And we have Josh Appleby here with us on behalf of Representative Bob Rosas.
Good morning, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Josh Appleby, staff to Representative Bob Rosas. He apologized that he can't be here this morning to present this resolution, a really simple resolution. Provisions within the 2007 Defense Authorization Bill, federally signed into law in October of 2006, inserted a provision that allowed the president to gain a little bit more power over states' National Guards. And they added to the list of events, natural disaster, epidemic, or other serious public health emergency, terrorist attack, or incidents as conditions under which the president can deploy U.S. armed forces and federalize state guard troops if he determines that authorities of the state or possession are incapable of maintaining public order. This change was consistently opposed by the National Governors Association, and all 50 governors expressed their objection, calling it a dramatic expansion of federal authority during natural disasters that could create confusion within the command and control of the National Guard and interfere with the state's ability to respond to natural disasters within their own borders. Clearly, there'll be a significant effect on Alaska and all states by this expansion of presidential authority. Our resolution simply urges the necessary federal action to reverse this change and honor the sovereignty of the individual states to regulate and command their National Guard troops.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Appleby. Questions from the committee? Senator French has joined us.
Yeah.
Senator Green. Yeah.
Is there any point at which we could foresee that there might be a reason for the nation to want, say, primacy or authority in this arena?
Senator Green, through the chair, yes, there are those instances where it would be necessary for primacy. Really what this does is it takes away the informing of the governor and the consultation with the governor before such action is taken. And so really what we're asking for is to kind of go back to the situation where the president would say, this is what I'm going to do, this is my plan, and consult with the governor beforehand.
So that's really the key issue, is the without the consent of the governors. Thank you.
So, Senator French, we are on HJR 11. We heard testimony from Mr. Appleby, and what the bill would do is revert back to the status of having the president notify the governor, which had been a notification that was removed at one point, and that was a concern. Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I do understand the importance of this, and I know that many of the national legislative organizations have taken a similar position you're taking. Could you just talk to us about the changes that occurred in the last 20 to 30 years and the use of the National Guard? Because when I was in the Army many years ago, it was primarily the Army that defended the nation. The National Guard, I do remember a couple of units being pulled up, but it was just a minor arm of the U.S. Army. But now it seems like it's a much more visible than it. Can you sort of give us any perspective on that?
Senator Stevens, through the chair, I can't go into the exact details of the National Guard's entire history, but it has been clear, certainly in this state, that they garnered a larger role in not only homeland security and security within the state, but also being deployed in actions outside of the state. And it is true that the National Guard has taken on a larger role. In our state, the National Guard is intricately involved with the federal forces. And one of the concerns that we have is that this new authority with the president may kind of upset that balance. Certainly you remember very recently there was a submarine that was in trouble off the coast, and it was our National Guard troops that went and provided those rescue operations, and it was seamless. And in fact, I think we have what we quite possibly call the model of federal and state cooperation here in Alaska. And I think we would like to keep that balance and keep that efficiency and all of those gains that we have made in the last several years.
Senator Stevens?
And I understand what you're saying. I think I agree with you. It still causes me a little pause for concern, you know, if we are in a national emergency and the president, whoever it may be, your president, my president, whoever it may be, determines that there's an imminent threat to the United States. I guess it adds another problem in the way of defending the country. Do you think or not?
Senator Stevens, through the chair, I don't think so. I think the way the Insurrection Act was before, there was a level of consultation. No one knows the state better than the governor or the legislature. The president shouldn't assume that he or she would know exactly, let's say if something happens in the state of Alaska, you know, what about the Brooks Range? What about the Chugach Range? What about the Aleutian Islands? Those sort of things, you would want a little bit local perspective. And that's the way it used to be. And I think that would be a good way to go.
I guess as a follow-up on that, Madam Chair, it's still a concern that, you know, what if we are in a national emergency, a president of your choosing, whoever it might be, whatever party it might be, is president, and could a governor who was, say, absolutely anti-war no matter what, refuse to allow his state troops to be used to defend the nation?
Senator Stevens, through the chair, I think, and we might be getting back to what prompted this being in the bill in the first place, and that was Hurricane Katrina and that natural disaster, and the difference in opinion between the president and the governor at the time. I believe that each state is going to handle things differently, and certainly I know for our state, we would do certainly what's best for our state, and the governor, I think, should maintain that right and should maintain the ability to say, I think you may be going too far.
Well, Madam Chair, I mean, I think I agree with you for the most part, but I'm still concerned in looking at the history, looking at the Civil War. At times, President Lincoln had a hard time getting the troops he needed to fight the war from the North. And there were times that the states did not bring the troops forward as they should have. The same thing happened with General Washington during the Revolutionary War, that he was often unable to get the troops from the states that he needed. And so it just concerns me that maybe we are being so politically correct that we, in fact, are shooting our own selves in the foot, you know, when we really do need to fight a war and are saying that an obstreperous governor could, whoever it might be, could actually put the nation in greater danger.
Senator Stevens, through the chair, the Insurrection Act actually allows for times of war. This expands that to national, you know, natural emergencies and man-made catastrophes and that sort of thing. During times of war, I'd absolutely agree with you.
Yeah.
There are times where those decisions need to be made from a single source. And I'm the opinion that we're expressing in this resolution is that although that's correct, maybe expanding it to all sorts of emergencies isn't the right way for us to go.
Right. Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate your explanation.
And just to be clear, I agree with many of the comments that Senator Stevens has said. But I think what we're asking, and first of all, it's a resolution we don't get to decide, but we're sending another piece of paper, hoping someone will read it, that we think we ought to go back to the original Insurrection Act, which does allow the president to act in times of war. Quite clearly, and should rightfully so. But what we don't want to do is extend it out to natural disasters, epidemics, or, you know, serious public health emergencies. And I think this is just another example of where you see how you can get in trouble. The Patriot Act is one. We've sent resolutions on that, opposing unanticipated consequences. And the motives were good to say, you know, after 9/11, we have a new world that we're looking at and serious concerns, but we have to be careful about how far we go, whether it's our individual sovereignty as a state or whether or not it's our individual liberties. So I support it. Any further comments, Senator French?
I would just, I was just reading through the good backup material, and I noticed that 51 governors recently sent a letter to Congress opposing Section 511, which was apparently the part of the federal bill that allowed this, or brought this problem to focus. That's a fairly unanimous perspective.
Pretty good.
Okay, anyone else here in the audience that wishes to testify on HJR 11? Anyone else online? Okay, so hearing and seeing none, public testimony is closed on HJR number 11. That brings the House Joint Resolution back before us. Madam President.
Would you like a motion?
Yes, please.
Okay, I'd move CS for House Joint Resolution number 11, State Affairs Title Amended. Move out of committee with individual recommendations and no fiscal notes.
Is there any objection to that motion? Okay, hearing none, HJR 11 has moved.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Appleby. Okay, so that brings us back to our favorite topic, the 90-day session bill, House Bill number 171. And one member of our committee is absent today, and he respectfully requested that I hold this bill over until Thursday, as well as there are other members who want to keep thinking about potential amendments. So we might have a short meeting today. We might be out of here by 10. In fact, we just have two amendments in front of us to take up. And I think Senator French, is one of them yours?
Yes, yes. Madam.
Okay.
Chair.
So you want to go ahead and let's make that amendment on number one.
Four or six.
And that's six. And at least put that out on the table to talk about.
Sure. I'll move amendment number one.
And I'll object just to get the discussion going.
Excellent. The amendment does several things, but I guess the central thing that it does for you and the members of the committee, Madam Chair, is that it focuses the start of the legislature on one day, keeps the start of the legislature on one day, and that way folks from here until we until the end of time will know that the legislature starts on the fourth Monday in January. Okay. I think that alleviates some of the concerns that Senator Stevens had about not crowding the holidays. It alleviates some of the concerns of folks who want to begin closer to when the revenue forecasts begins. But it also keeps keeps the legislature starting as it always has in January. And I think that is sort of symbolic about getting the new year kicked off in the legislature during that first month and lets us get down here and get to work. It eliminates the problems of staggered starts, eliminates the problems of staggered calendars, and that's the first and probably the biggest change that it makes. It picks that single day to begin all sessions on.
Good.
We also make a couple changes, and that's, if you're looking at the amendment number one, that's all the material that runs from lines 1 to lines 13 on the first page of the amendment. The second change is from lines 15 to line 17, and that is about pre-filed bills. That says that if you want to have a pre-filed bill, you've got to have it. Essentially, it's going to be released on the 10th, and so you've got to have it to the LIO, or LAA, before that. So you'd have to get your amendment into them or your bill into them somewhere around the 8th or 9th. They're going to release the first round, they're going to release those pre-filed bills on the 10th of January. That's lines 15 to 17. Lines 19 to 21 have to do with, let me just bring my memory to work. Does that have to do with the budget amendments? Supplemental. There are two dates there. One deals with the supplemental, the other deals with the budget amendments. We are decreeing that, as it stands right now, the governor's supplemental budget is due to the legislature on the 30th legislative day. We move that up by 15, and then on the next page, you can see that the budget amendments are due currently on the 45th legislative day. We move that up to the 30th legislative day. It's Mr. Boucher's here from OMB, who can perhaps explain maybe the effect of that a little better. But that's the idea, is to move those dates up somewhat in the legislature since we're starting later, because you're in a time crunch no matter when you do the budget and the amendments. But this balances, if you will, the need for the governor to have time to prepare the budget and the need for us to have time to consider it. So that's the thrust of the amendment, Madam Chair.
Okay, and so that is amendment number one. In a little bit of an unorthodox way, I want to compare it. I don't know any other way to do it. I've been trying to think of procedurally. So the motion on the table is amendment number one, and I've objected to that. So speaking outside of the confines of and with the leave of this committee, unless someone objects, I'd like to have leave of the committee to discuss KA.4, which is just another alternative. So essentially, we're discussing the same idea, which is when we want the legislature to start. And I think it has been the collective wisdom of this committee that we'd like to start the same time every year, all the time, as opposed to a staggered, confusing start date. Now the question simply becomes whether or not it will be the fourth Monday in January or the second Monday in February. So really, it's a policy call, but I wanted members to go ahead and see. I wonder if that's my BlackBerry. Might be. Radio transmission. So I just wanted members to see the comparison. And frankly, because I think this committee works so well together, kind of wanted to have a little discussion within the context of amendment number one, knowing that there is that other alternative out there, because I don't think people are going to bleed and die over this either of these two choices. I think they're both reasonable choices. So it's just a question about what direction the committee wants to go. Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could we, let's see, what would be the completion date, the 90th day after the amendment number one and then the proposed amendment, the completion and of the last day of the legislative session, if we began on the fourth Monday in January, would be when, Senator?
Here it is.
You should have a, thank you, Senator. Madam President notices that my excellent staff has put together a series of calendars, and you should have in your packet a calendar that circles the January 28th in 2008 would be the fourth Monday in January. I think it's 91 days after that is April 27th on a Sunday. So that would be the completion date.
I guess first I'd question the 91 days. I think it's 90 days. I mean, I don't know why we go to 91. I never quite understood.
The court rule.
But does a court rule apply even if we go to 90 days?
I think it has, the courts have some obscure way of
Sam
counting.
Sam Cook's on the line, too.
That leads to 91.
But in any event, we're talking about April 27, something like that.
You can see that, yeah. You can see it's either April 26th or 27th.
And if we were to go to the second choice, the second Monday in February, and that would be
so that would
2 weeks later, then we're talking about something like May 12th.
Right. It'd be like February, roughly February 11th in 2008, if we're all reading from the same February 11th in 2008. Did I say that wrong? Anyway, it's the 11th in 2008, and then if you just advance
the 10th.
2 weeks, second Monday in February?
I think it would be an exact, I think it would be the 11th, because
in February.
No, if you started on the 11th.
You'd start on the 11th.
Right. I think you'd be out.
Yeah. Oh, no, it May 12th.
I think it'd be the 12th because you've got a leap year in there.
Okay.
And yeah. Tam Cook is online. Tam, would you briefly address the point about the extra day and the court rule, the 90 versus 91 concept?
Absolutely, Madam Chair. Under the constitutional language, we got the extra day on the 121-day session because of the way that particular constitutional language is written. It says 120 days from the date the legislature convenes, and that's your extra day. With the the initiative language, the 90-day session, it's very clear that it is 90 consecutive calendar days. So you don't pick up an extra day if one looks at the initiative language.
Okay, so that's clear.
Brief at ease.
Okay, we're back on the record, and we still have amendment number one before us. Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate both amendments. Frankly, my druthers would be with the later date. I think one of the reasons we might want to, you know, set the date at which we reach the 90th day, one concern is always hotel space and rental apartments in Juneau Forest, but if it were to end on the 12th of May, it'd be actually 3 days earlier than what we're ending right now. So I personally would prefer the later date if all things being equal.
Senator Green?
Well, I'm sort of leaning that way, too, in February versus the end of January. And my concern is still, and I'm not sure we should have to redo the anything that comes from the governor's office on the budget if we didn't start until February.
Yeah, you don't. And that's why, again, stepping outside with leave of the committee parliamentary rules to discuss another amendment, KA.4 does not make a mention of that for that reason. So all you really have is a reference to the legislative affairs agency at any time before February, but no references to specific dates regarding the budget changes or anything else. Everything mm-hmm. just sort of stays the same.
Currently, what is the time frame? About 2 weeks before, I mean, because isn't it December 31 now on the
pre-filed? Yeah. So, Tam, did you want to, you drafted the amendment, and the only two things that we included were the start date and the pre-filed date. We chose not to get into any of section 6, pardon me, lines 18 through 19 or lines 22 through 23. Do you want to just talk briefly about that?
Madam Chair, yes, in amendment KA.4, the first part of it, the change to page 2, is the start time for the legislative session. And the little change that you see down on page 3, which is on line 15 of your amendment, is the change in the pre-file date. It simply rolls the time that a pre-file can be requested forward by a month. It doesn't make any changes to the rest of the bill. They're not strictly necessary based on the day that the legislature convenes. If there's a particular section that is concerning people, I'd be glad to address it.
Any questions for Tam? Senator French.
I just need to make sure my understanding is correct. I have a letter from Mr. Boucher, and in it, it's April 16, 2007, and he notes that the supplemental appropriations and the budget amendments are both keyed on the legislative calendar. And it just strikes me that, I don't know why, that's just the way it is, but the governor's supplemental appropriations are due the 30th legislative day, and the governor's budget amendments are due the 45th legislative day. So it just strikes me that if we're going to deal with the fact that we've got a 90-day session, we need to advance those.
That's true.
In one of these vehicles, whether it's in Amendment 1 or Amendment, we'll call it Amendment 2. But it strikes me that we do want to address it.
Good point. Mr. Boucher, do you have a copy of KA4 in front of you?
No, I don't, Senator. But however, I think I can get
there
it conceptually here. Thank you.
So would it be your opinion, and what I'll go ahead and do is ask Senator Stevens had another meeting, and Senator Bundy is not here, so we don't have our full complement of committee members. So I think what we'll ultimately do is I will ask Senator French to, we can just table the amendment, frankly, and gavel out today. But before we do that, I'd like to have on the record whether or not you think there need to be changes to, maybe not, to KA.4 to recognize the budget dates.
Thank you. My name is John Boucher. I'm with the Office of Management and Budget. Senator McGuire, I do believe that it would be advantageous to the legislature to revisit Section 12, because if you, for instance, started in the second Monday in May, rather than have...
Just for the record.
February, excuse me.
I know.
I'm getting calendar.
If you never started...
Right.
Then what?
We could provide the supplementals in approximately mid-February.
Okay.
That's the current calendar. And so if you started in the second Monday in May, we could probably do that by the fifth legislative day, which would give you longer to contemplate it. And similarly, we could provide the amended budget probably by around the 15th day. It's normally right around the last week of February or the first week in March. And so it would also give you more time to contemplate the budgets rather than it would be just a 14-day or two-week difference as opposed to Senator French's proposal. But either way, those are kind of the target dates that we're trying to hit, say, in the that second week of February or in the last week of February.
Yeah, and I guess that's my only thought of favoring the February date is that if we're truly going to meet 90 days, I think we're going to have a higher probability of success by starting later because the budget is so integral in the forecasting because our budget is so highly dependent on one commodity, one source of revenue, that my fear is that if we start earlier, that we'll end up extending our session out anyway. So that's why I lean toward the February date. Not that you have a policy opinion on it, but that's my reading of it, just being around here a few years and seeing how things go. Okay, so what we'll go ahead and do then, is there anybody else here in the audience that has not yet testified on House Bill number 171 or the Senate companion, the 90-day session bill, that wishes to, or anyone online? Okay, hearing and seeing none, then what we'll go ahead and do is table amendment.
Why don't I just go
Senator
ahead?
Senator French? Yes.
Even though I reserve the right to go down swinging on my January start date. Why don't I make matters easier and just withdraw this?
Okay.
And
okay.
Amendment number one be withdrawn.
Okay, so amendment number one is withdrawn for now. We will come back with with these same amendments and any other amendments. And Tam, this is just going out to you. To the extent that you think there's anything else that we have not captured between now and Thursday, you are our wonderful ledge counsel. So if there's something that we have missed, please help us, and I will offer it on behalf of the committee. Senator Green?
Yeah, I had a note given to me that someone thinks that on Section 17, page 8, I think it was Senator Calgary, said the... he doesn't think the ledge council report is necessary, and I have no idea why. So we may want to check that before
okay.
we come back with the other amendment on Thursday.
Okay, just we will
question.
Do so.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else for the good of the order? Okay, hearing and seeing none, I give you a half an hour extra of your day.
Wonderful.
We're adjourned.
Oh,